Okay. Hmm. Yeah, just switch name tags.
Got it?
Yep. Thank you.
Friends.
I could move too if it's easier.
No, you're fine. I just, my cord's a little short. Think so.
It's all the CPs.
Yeah.
What's your middle initial?
H, but I don't H. use it. I don't use it anymore. The only reason I use it is to distinguish me from my dad, and he's passed away now for years, so
I don't have to worry about it.
Quit using it. Yeah.
Thank you. This is Tenneke, or not Tenneke, Elfin Cove secondhand store.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
Dang.
I know.
Awesome.
Well, it's kind of like not really a store. It's just outside. Like,
their store is not really a store.
Yeah.
Oh, like their library?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Huh. I had fun.
Elfin Cove. That's cool.
Where we have the hot springs.
So have you guys heard about the Bear Country Charter or Bear Country Boat Rental phenomenon that's going on?
No.
So Bear Country is kind of, from what I get, is like a generic name for businesses that run boat rentals that people can...
Mm-hmm. Well, bear
Bear Boat Charters. Yeah, I know exactly what those are.
Try to script some rules.
I know exactly what those are.
So,
there's some of them operating in these waters right out here.
Yeah. Right.
Been for years.
Right here, there might be a movement to come to Gustavus. And
there already are.
People I've heard from the locations where they exist, they're not real thrilled about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, might be something we want to talk about for, you know, we're already doing something for our floats. but I guess they spring up like these.
Oh, yeah, there's that one going on there.
There's already some in Excursion Inlet.
Those ones have been going to Excursion Inlet for almost 15
years.
I think Juneau City Borough has a resolution about that, about the bare boat charters. I forget, somewhere around here did, because of that issue, and they talked about they refined the rules.
Yeah. I heard they had a negative impact on Elfin Cove.
I'm sure that, I mean, there's nothing.
Anyway, food for thought. Another day.
That's almost more
another
of a
council.
Fish and game. That's more of a fish and game thing. More to fish.
No, but there are things that we can do.
Yeah.
You're just cracking yourself up over there.
But if you want to really get at the problems that they create, that's a important issue, really. When you're talking about them breaking the rules,
but that's
which
not
they really are. They're finding a way through
when
them.
People so close.
One of the really focusing on the fish side of it, more as the
impact. We try to work it out.
Well, we would charge those, whatever we would charge a commercial boat, because they would be...
I'm so glad. I mean, thank you. I
the number of businesses of a certain type. For example, a lot of communities that are much larger have limits on things like adult bookstores or adult entertainment, liquor stores, more adult businesses with high things, pot shops. Limit on where and how close they can be to one another, things like that.
This will just be right at Sheriff's
County. I just scored that one out there because I didn't know if everybody had heard about the issue. I had several people come in over the last 3 years.
Well, they've been an internal problem, well, not, at least for 20 years. 20 years they've been going on.
Maybe you want to see that critical mass.
I bet.
Oh. You should have seen what Doc Warner used to send people out in before they got those safety skills.
Kind of
you see six people hanging off a Lund out there, and it's, oh my gosh, you just want
to. You sign a bunch of liability waiver.
Send a sea lion their way.
God. And they're, you know, they're all hanging on the edge, and there's kids.
Oh, sea lions?
At least now they have those baby crafts now.
I'm going to have a list of non-agenda items.
At least those are a bit more safe and a bit more stable. Yeah, Lunds. I'm fully loaded Lunds out there in the middle of icy straits and stuff. It was crazy.
Little Darwinism at play, huh?
It made my stomach turn every time I went by. In my boat going by, you know, coming home, coming back here or something, bad weather, see those boats out there.
Oh, could you see that? People from just have never been in a boat before out there in the middle of
Ice Creek. It just made me cringe. I didn't want to be there. Supposedly
they don't know.
Fun.
They just don't know.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Shelly.
Hello. Is it a town hall tonight?
You know what's the greatest problem?
But
public interest is good.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I didn't know we were gonna.
I got permanent at the park, so now I don't have to do that so much.
Yeah, but now. I saw one that I was really hard not to pull the trigger on. No, I couldn't. It was close. It was too close.
Did Kathy tell you that?
Maybe.
She did. I've forgotten.
Yeah. It's been weird. It's so warm and been so dry. Everything.
How long are you in John?
We're gone 3 months. Oh, that's the maximum.
And you're not expecting anything giant or anything.
And we're going to need anything sensuous.
Yeah,
we'll be on
sure, I can do that.
January, February, March. How much is the money? Shall we pay? No.
We'll talk.
Okay.
So it's January, February, March.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going tomorrow morning?
London to start with, but we expect to end up in
Spain.
No.
I'm going to call this meeting to order. Thank you. It's 7 o'clock, and I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's September 16th. It's our regular meeting. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Cannamore.
Here.
Councilmember Cook.
Here.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Mayor Cassavet.
Here.
Councilmember Owen.
Here.
Okay, there are 7 members present and a quorum exists.
Okay, thank you. Before we get on to the next agenda items, I just wanted to present this certificate of appreciation to Jay for his years of service. We re-presented certificates to Shelley and Cheryl at our work session last week. And Jake wasn't here, so he gets it in front of all you guys. okay, next on the agenda is our minutes from the last general meeting of August 12, 2019. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Mr. Mayor, may I make a motion to approve the minutes of August
12, 2019?
Second. Been moved and I'll give it to Chair, seconded by Cheryl, to approve the minutes of our general meeting of August 12, 2019. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to any additional corrections or comments to the minutes? Do any council members have any additions or corrections to the minutes? No? Excuse me, if there's no objections, I would like unanimous consent for approval of these minutes. It looks like everybody's nodding their heads yes, so please, we've got our approval of minutes. Mayor's request for agenda changes, I don't think I have any.
Yeah.
Oh, we do, that's right. We won't be discussing formation of the child care committee because I think that's already been taken care of, and it's going to be an informal committee working with the child care folks. So the city won't be sponsoring that committee. Okay. So that's removed from the agenda. Any other council comment on the agenda? If there is unanimous consent, I will set the agenda. Okay, agenda set. Committee staff reports. Our first one, Marine Facilities Coordinator, Ben.
So, in addition to my report, unless you guys have specific questions, the only thing that I didn't add in there is that Fairweather Construction and I plan to start moving the slopes on October 1st back around into the river based on tides and weather. It took us about 6 weeks to get them out of the river, so that's why we're trying to do it a little earlier than maybe we would. last week I cut my hours back to my good seasonal schedule. I plan to work as needed. I do have projects coming up, but with the charter operation done, I won't be working down there as much as have been. And though something I forgot to put in there was that last month we had Glacier Bay Construction pump the septic tank or the wireless restroom down to the beach. Sorry that I failed to put that in there.
All right. Any questions for Ben? Council? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks,
okay. Next is Gustavus Water Action Committee. Want to handle this one next?
So, we met just this last week for the quarter. It's been a busy summer, so we haven't been doing a lot. We've been waiting for the RUBA grant, either approval or not, to come back, and that's an unknown time that we'll hear about that, so it's still in progress. The other thing, Wayne Howell's been working on trying to document the history of the use of AFS, of the PFAS containing foam, I can't remember the acronym, but AFFF. And he's been talking to former firefighters and volunteers and just anybody that he can, you know, get the lead on that might know where some of the foam was used and whatnot. So if anybody here has any of that information, contact Wayne. He'd like to get your information. And that's continuing, and he said he was pretty much, he had a pretty good idea of a timeline and where things were, and he's going to put it in a report and get it to us. And one of the questions was, do we still need to continue as a city committee? And the general consensus was yes, at least until Wayne's project is done, and then maybe, you know, more things will come up with the new makeup. Shelley's going to take over as if she's elected, I guess I should say. She attended the last meeting, and if she's elected, she volunteered to take on as council liaison on that committee. So at that time, we'll continue from there. So.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Cheryl from the council? Okay. Next is our financials. Just remind folks to initial it before we leave today. Look them over. Anybody have any comments or concerns about the financials? Or I didn't. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask about staying on top of our endowment fund grant distributions. They go till December, right? But there's a couple of last year's endowment funds that still have pretty significant remainders in them, so I was just asking if we need to be looking at that at some point.
I'm sure we will. Can you maybe have Phoebe track that down?
I think she does a reminder in October.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, and City Administrator, Tom.
just playing with the machine here. I don't know if it's going to cooperate or not. We'll see what happens. Aha.
Nicely done.
There you go.
Okay, so most of the items were discussed and resolved at the work session. We still had one that looking for some direction on. That's the annual work plan for the policy and procedures for city committees. Mike had commented that he thought that the PNP was obsolete at this point. It was created early on when the council ran the committees, and that was the way work was being done. So the PNP, if you look at that attachment, did a nice job of outlining in detail what was expected and needed. Today, if we were to start a committee, if you looked at that PNP, it'd be fairly onerous, and the thought that we should look at it, whether or not we want to keep it, create a new one. Any thoughts?
My thought was that it definitely needs to be changed, so maybe forming a couple council members or something to look at it with you and see if it, you know, come with a proposal on whether it should be kept or just in, but whether it should be amended or deleted, I guess. That was my just one thought.
Yeah, if you can just make something like that would be great, and that way the new council would have, you know, the new council would have some say in that as well.
All right, I'll put an outline of something together and start from that. Otherwise, any questions on the report?
Well, I just wanted to mention our moving our the AMLET reserve account and getting a bit better return on our savings reserve. So
that was kind of nice.
Yay, Phoebe.
Anyway, great. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Mr. May?
Yeah.
Just wanted to say, in the Marine Facilities Committee, perhaps if there's folks in the room who didn't want to sign up for a council seat, that might be a place to for someone if they have some passion for that. So keep that in mind. I guess there's reports of solicitation closing on October 10th. Yet another option to participate.
Okay. Well, I don't think we need the work.
No, but I keep having to disconnect.
But okay, no problem. So now we're on to public comment on non-agenda items. This is a time for folks to to talk to us and give us public comment on things that are not on our agenda tonight. Was there a sign-up sheet? Do we have any? Okay, just Linda. Okay, come on, Linda. I just wanted to make sure we have everybody that wanted to.
Follow-up. So, at least half a dozen times in the city's town hall meeting topics letter that was sent to residents a short while back, there was a request for input that the city really wanted and needed to hear what people were thinking. Well, in response, there were 259 individual persons who wrote or signed letters turned in at the last regular council meeting. Tonight, I will add a few more. My question to all of you is, have you read them? Every single one of them? The weight of them should be considered exactly the same as if every single person were individually lined up behind this podium and one by one stated or read exactly what they signed or added on every single issue or point. Obviously, you would be here all night, and you would be largely hearing the exact same words and opinions expressed over and over again. It was the input and feedback that you asked for. Most did not attend the meetings. Most did not have to hear the fine-tuned differences between land use designation and zoning, for example, readily available by Googling, to know that they are fundamentally opposed to what it is perceived to have become the city's deaf ear in their lives. They did not need to hear one more time about a redundant FBSO question that has become like fingernails on a chalkboard, to borrow from an old saying. Maybe the young people don't know what that means with a chalkboard. That grates on the nerves of a community that has already spoken several times. But they did respond in writing. and many made additional comments. If you have read them all, we sincerely thank you. I also want to address the reports that have come back by some who overheard conversations at several of the scheduled meetings regarding the 259 letters made by a council member and an unelected city employee with vested interests. And I don't need to name names because if you said it, you know who you are. What was said was that the massive response, as represented in our letters, was fear-based, and also an overreaction from a misunderstanding that these four city issues were already being put into motion, when in fact they would have to first come to a vote. Also, there were statements or questions that would indicate that the 259 were first and foremost, and at the very least, uninformed. Those responses from a city who asked at least six times in their letter for input on whether we should do A, B, or nothing in regards to each issue, and who chides residents to get involved if they don't like what's going on. And I don't believe it's all of you. I'm sure it's not. But for those of you who said or even thought such things, it is dismissive, discounting, disrespectful, and arrogantly suggestive that a large majority of Gustavus folks are too ignorant to know the process or to understand their own minds. It flippantly trivializes the heartfelt contributions that were offered by a group of people that took the time to respond, and unfortunately proved them right when they say that the city does not listen or care. I guess for some it may be a neat and tidy way to symbolically discredit, to toss them in the wastebasket, and delegitimize what you might not want to deal with. And again, I stress, this does not, I hope, apply to all, or even most of the city council members. But no wonder people are angry and upset. Does the feedback requested only matter if the results align with what some personal agendas might be? For the first time in this community, I am hearing the word term limits, recall, and a ballot measure to remove being tossed around as something we need to seriously consider, and perhaps we do, but really we don't. What we really need is a city council who is dedicated to representing the majority of its citizens, to listen to the majority of voices, or be ready to explain why not. Some of you are wanting to be representative and to do a good job. You have told us that, and we again sincerely thank you. But to others, and I'm speaking for myself here, if at any time you cannot put your personal agendas aside and can't or don't want to represent the majority of the people, you should respectfully resign. Karen Milligan and I were reminded in a meeting with our mayor a couple of weeks ago that all points of view need to be heard. We agree, absolutely agree. But why do some issues with certain points of view seem to take precedent over what appears to be a clear majority and keeps popping back up to be dealt with over and over again like the legendary whack-a-mole game? Unfortunately, there is a growing sentiment that this has become the reputation of this city, and there is a large number of people getting fed up. If this reputation is not deserved, or if I'm being too harsh here, prove it to us by your actions or inaction, whichever the case might be. Several years ago, the city of Gustavus paid $7,410 to a California company, Centennium, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, to design and administer a comprehensive study to presumably determine the will of the people and to guide the future direction of the city. 186 completed the surveys and returned them with a 95% level of confidence. In 2017, the results were compiled and completed. Whatever became of that community survey report? Were there follow-up discussions? What corresponding actions or inaction did the city take based on the conclusions of that survey? Now, call me old-fashioned, but $7,410 is a lot of money. One would expect that to decide to spend that amount of money to find out what people think, that the city really did want to know what people think, right? I tried to find out, but could not find any useful evidence of consequential correlations between city administrative conduct, either then or now, based on the results of that survey. For example, while there were very high marks for the appreciation for this community in regards to personal freedom, scenic beauty, friendliness, tolerance of varied views, etc., 146 of the 186 responders showed little or no support for a harbor master. This is nothing personal, Ben, if you're back there, with only 6% very supportive. There was not overwhelming support for a city administrator, much more support for a partially paid mayor who would be directly responsible to the citizens. But now, of course, we have both a harbor master and a city administrator. For removal of derelict boats, except for the kitten, there was overwhelming support for not removing the kitten. But somehow, the kitten has been removed. The majority did not want an increase in sales tax, reflecting overwhelming disapproval of city income tax or property taxes. In the matter of law enforcement, only 30% felt we were negatively impacted by law enforcement, while over 60% felt it was a positive thing or did not negatively affect this community. The issue of a first-class city and to run our school with increased taxes showed only 12% with strong support, 60% no support at all. Planning and zoning showed less than 20% very supportive. But these issues are all before us once again, dividing the community and leaving many of us scratching our heads. So who is behind this? And how did all this get thrown back into the mix of high priority city business? And not just one of the contested issues, but four of them all at once. It seems to a whole group of us that there would be a lot less work for the city council to do, a lot fewer hours of meetings, if these things would be questioned and justified before embarking down the road of the same old issues over and over again, or even considering bringing them to a vote. We have not had a population explosion since the 2017 report to significantly change the opinion trajectory. In fact, we have not grown at all, according to the DCCED report and statistics that the city prefers to use. We have dipped in population numbers. So where is the evidence that the Centennium Report of Conclusions, reflecting the heartbeat of this community, achieved or impacted anything at all? I want to revisit one issue before I close. Don't take a drink of water. I'll be able to do it. An issue that, in my mind, spiraled totally out of control and has left a permanent stain on this community. Imagine a scenario with the kitten, a new scenario, one where the city council had listened to the people and the Gustavus challenge that I talked about last time I was here had been put into effect and creative ideas and solutions had been bounced around, perhaps consulting with the local Gustavus History Organization, whose stated mission, by the way, is to preserve important local artifacts, about how the kitten could be saved while addressing any other issues involved. Imagine for a moment that this iconic local artifact was still down at the boat harbor, with perhaps a fence around it, and memorialized by an historic descriptive plaque telling its story for all to enjoy and read. Would that not have shown this community that the city listened, that the residents and the tourists that we value our history, our children, that there are good things to respect and preserve? Remember, the kitten was the excellent work of a local boat builder built by the hands of an original Strawberry Point homesteader and one of the most photographed images in Gustavus. You can read about the kitten in Jim Makoviak's book, Hope and Hard Work, on page 75. You can read about it, but now you can't see it. Nobody can. Instead, it sits removed, broken, and destroyed forever. Who or what was the driving force behind this? I personally would tell you that the whole real scenario as it played out is too disgusting for words. And now, the city's heavy hand is responsible for callously wiping out a rare historic icon in the name of sanitizing the boat harbor, in spite of what the people said. Can you begin to understand some of the disillusionment out there? When is this going to stop? So what are our expectations from city council members? It's really very simple. It is to listen and take action, or as I said before, inaction, whichever the case might be, in keeping with the direction and the wishes of the majority of our citizens. That cannot possibly be too much to ask. You'd have a much easier, less time-consuming, and I would imagine a much less stressful job, and the sincere gratitude and respect of the people. Thank you.
Questions for Sparta?
Thank you.
Any other public comment on non-agenda items before we move on? Next is the consent agenda. We have two NCOs on the consent agenda. These are introductions for approval next month. FY2007 NCO for department budgets FY20. You can see it up there. That is our PILT payments, payment in lieu of taxes. We're actually getting more than what we thought we were going to get. I think y'all most saw that letter that PV got from the state about that. So that's what this one is about, for modifying our budget for 2020, showing the increase in PILT. Also showing the OWL funding that we were concerned about that was removed in the first round of vetoes was returned in that second round, and so we got the OWL funding back. We need to take care of that. So that's what this budget is about, and it's being introduced. So I was just trying to explain that. Anyway, the other one is a closeout of our capital projects and return the unused funds. That's from our that's fine.
Individual
okay.
This is not
so both of those are up for public up for public hearing next week next month. We're publishing them here on the consent agenda. Do any members of the public wish to have these any item removed from the consent agenda? No. Do any council members wish to have these either of these pulled from the consent agenda? No. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the consent agenda for FY20-07 NCO and FY20-08 NCO.
On your minutes, it says public hearing October 14th, 2019. That's not even here yet.
Right. This is being introduced.
We're
introducing this for a 30-day public review, and we'll take the public hearing next month. Right.
Thank you.
Did I get a second on that? Okay.
Cheryl
seconded. If there's no objection, can I have unanimous consent? Okay. Looks like I have it.
Take me a while to drive since I have to do it all separately now. Sorry.
Okay.
We're having issues with the. I don't know what's going on. I'm stopping at it.
Okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and get this going for while you get. Okay, our next is our ordinance for public hearing FY20-06 NCO. This is our FY20 repair and replacement contributions to our AMLIP accounts. This is something that we are trying to do to be responsible in assuring that city capital improvements have sufficient funds to either repair or replace them over time. So this is a basically moving money into our AMLIP accounts for repair and replacement. So as soon as we get that up,
my
okay.
Back up not good. Circles just circling. I don't know, we might have to print copy.
Can you do Control Alt Delete to end task?
What's that?
Control Alt Delete. Mm-hmm.
No, okay.
At the same time?
Yeah.
No?
Well, shopping for a new projector. This is giving us so much trouble.
I wonder why.
There we go.
Yay.
Okay, here we go. All right, I've described this NCO, this non-quarter NCO FY2006. It's putting money into our repair and replacement account in our AMLET reserve in our AMLET account. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this NCO? Yeah, seeing none. I will now entertain a motion to approve this NCO.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, may I move to approve FY20-06 NCO, which is the FY20 repair and replacement contribution to AMLIC account, to AMLIC account as introduced August 12, 2019.
Been moved by Jake, seconded by Brittany, to approve FY20-06 NCO, the FY20 repair and replacement contribution to the AMLIC account. Does any council members wish to comment? If so, roll call vote.
All right, Councilmember Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Owen.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Cook.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Kasapit.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Next is unfinished business 9A. It's a resolution CY19-16 to assure the sustainability practice of matching the expansion of city services to the growth of the population and subsequent increase in economic activity as reflected in local tax and fee revenue as amended at our 8/12/2019 meeting, general meeting. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I will move to approve Resolution CY19-16 to assure the sustainable practice of matching the expansion of city services to the growth of the population and subsequent increase in economic activity as reflected in local tax and fee revenues as amended at the August 12, 2019 general meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve this resolution. You can see it there on the board. Is there any public comment on this? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Comment on it last month that I have certainly been thinking about it quite a bit. I understand, you know, that much of the public is uncomfortable with the growth of the community, and I'm biased towards city government, you know, so I look at it a little differently, but, you know, I understand, you know, what people are saying, that, you know, that's the true sentiment. Because I remember a good friend of mine once commented on City Hall, you know, what are they doing in there? You know, it's just, I think government employees have often been treated with more than a little suspicion. In 2012, when Title III, the personnel ordinance, was extensively revised and there was a lot of discussion concerning employees, I was told of a certain philosophy. Government is to provide services and not employment. So I've always wondered just where the employee fits in that statement, as where's the one that makes the services happen. After incorporation, way back in 2004. It took me 4 years to understand the budgeting process. And that was as a department head, someone who uses the budget regularly. I urge the council to stay away from formulas as a way of controlling the city's personnel budget or even the budget as a whole. It is far better to make sure your staff has the training and experience to perform their job and to trust them. The city has always operated under a balanced budget and it has always maintained a surplus. But it is also very important for the council to ask questions and seek to understand the budgeting process. And it is important for the public to follow and comment upon the actions of the council. And it doesn't mean the public has to go along with that, but the public really does have a responsibility to track the actions of the council if they care about the actions of the council. That's what I got.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this?
Any questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. Questions for Paul first?
From the council.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
I just have a question.
Yep.
Is the community of Gustavus growing? I mean, is it really? I mean, I know a couple of guys that took them like 3 years to sell a house.
Well, we're really not discussing whether it's growing or not. We're discussing the applicability of using of us approving this agenda, this resolution that's on our agenda.
So there's no assumption that it's growing. Nothing to that.
Well, what time period do you want to look at? I mean,
last 2 years.
Probably the last 2 years, there probably hasn't been any growth.
To go along with that, if we're talking about expansion of city services, I would assume that has something to do with growth. If we're expanding services, it must be because we have more people?
Well,
I'm guessing.
I don't want to put words in the mouth of the authors of this resolution. I wasn't really an author of this resolution. But I assume that what they mean by expansion of city services, that could be anything. That could be, another firefight, another paid firefighter, or I don't know. Who knows? I don't.
By the growth of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of self-explanatory there a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to read it up on the board.
I have a question for Leslie.
Go ahead.
I'll state it as a question. Are you aware of that?
Probably not.
Growth in city services could be either due to growth in the population that we need more public staff, more staff to cover that an existing function. Growth in city services also could be the addition of whole new functions, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, some of which we talked about in the town halls, and the kind of thing that Linda Parker was also talking about, concerned about adding more new functions. So it could be either the sort of question about.
And I assume from our city council that they were well, any of this done is well thought out and kind of going with those of us that show up and offer our input, something like that. So I'll assume that. Thank you.
Is there any other comments or questions? And I need to get your name, too, because for the record.
Sure. Pat Milligan.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions on this?
Would you like to give a quick trend on the growth, population growth? So prior to the ferry, our population was right around 250, give or take a few people. 2010, the ferries came in. We started to see a growth trend. In 2016, we were at about 4.25 to 450. Depending on the year you want to look at. And then
this is summer or winter?
This is year-round residents as identified by Department of Labor, and it was part of a division
CCD.
of community economic development. So the trend is moving up. 16, 17, we had a report that was done by a private economic analyst that showed our population at 556. And so we jumped from 250, 3.25, 425 to 450. Now we're at 550. And the
from what 550 now?
So that was 2017. Then in 2018, the projection from the state was 554. That was a certified estimate from the Department of Community Economic
Regional Affairs.
DCCD. So we have the trend. Really, the significance starts with the ferry in 2010 that runs from around 300 to 5.5. So if you were to graph it, I mean, you can see it. It's a fairly nice incline. I hope that helps.
In addition to that comment?
Sure.
The definitive count will be with the 2020 census, and that will give us a really solid number of who the government thinks we have in terms of our population.
When does that come out?
I believe it's next spring.
They started.
Started
this spring, so maybe by summer.
Summer or fall.
I mean, the numbers, the results. That's going to take a while. That takes a while. Believe me, that takes a while.
Okay.
We're moving on. It's now to the council for. I better check. Is there any more public comment on this item before we take it to the council table? Nobody wishes to speak anymore on this. Okay. It's now at the council table. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to propose an amendment to this resolution. I would like to propose that the second now, therefore, be a further resolved paragraph be replaced by the following. There, can we put the amendment up there?
I know, but I'm having trouble projecting the packet.
She's trying. Yes. So I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, now, therefore, be it further resolved, the City Council shall prepare and manage a conservatively balanced operating budget annually in accordance with state law and the best municipal practice that sets a limit of no more than 50% of total budgeted gross revenue to be allocated to budgeted city payroll expense for any fiscal year. So, yeah.
I'm going to second that for the purpose of discussion. I'm not sure I support it yet, but I'm pleased to hear Susan's suggestion here.
May I speak to it? All right, well, your indulgence, I beg, because the council has talked about this a lot over the last few months, but I'm going to take it back to where this is coming from. In July of this year, 2019, a local citizens group became concerned about the increase in payroll over the last few years, and floated a petition. They tried to do a ballot proposition, but that didn't work. So they floated a petition, and 152 people signed the petition in town. And there was a lot of reaction and sort of angst and turbulence that happened around this. So I'm just going to go back and I'm going to read the first sentence of the petition that the 152 people signed. The first sentence said, "We, the undersigned voters, petition the Gustavus City Council to apply the amount of local revenue collected in taxes and fees as a maximum amount for total payroll expenses, except by a vote of the citizens or by an increase in local tax revenue." And that came to the council, and the council thought that using that measure of all the taxes and fees that we collect as a limit was arbitrary and impractical and didn't like that. So this resolution says, instead of saying all the money that we take in local taxes and revenues, it's proposing that we use 50%, no more than 50% of all the money that we take in a given year to pay for payroll. Now, the numbers start getting very complicated, and it's really important to be accurate in terms of what we're saying. But what this boils down to is just simply saying that when the city council develops a budget with your help in February and March, that the line in the budget that says how much revenue we're going to take in is at least 50% more than the line that says that we're budgeting for how much we're going to spend on payroll. As a mechanism for trying to keep a balance there, it's not restrictive. It doesn't say that the council couldn't hire a new person or expand some city service. All they need to do is look at and increase the revenue before they, you know, increase the payroll and keep that balance going as half of it goes to payroll. So before you throw up your hands and run out of the building screaming, ah, poverty taxes to raise revenue, we had this great town hall meeting that Tom was chairing about local taxes, and all sorts of ideas came to the fore about how we could boost revenue if the people of the town say they want new services or additional services or anything else. Or the way that this resolution is worded, it says to the greatest degree practicable that we would take this idea. Now, some people will say 50% is just, it's too restrictive. You know, some people will say 50%, no, that's too much. You know, I don't know if this is the be-all, end-all solution, but if the council adopts this resolution without putting a limit in, and as it's presently worded, without a resolution, it doesn't have an actual limit stated. If we put a limit in there, then it will give the council an opportunity to respond to all of the public interest about saying, let's do something about this. It might not be the ultimate end-all thing to do about it, but there's wiggle room in there saying, to the greatest degree practicable, we'll take this as an intent. It's a resolution, not an ordinance. It's not the law. So if something untoward came up, that an adjustment had to be made, at least folks could say to the next council, well, you know, we said that we were going to try and do this 50% thing. Can you explain why we're not doing it? So, that's my question.
Question, Mr. Mayor. Can you tell me right now what our percentage, because I think we discussed this, but I don't remember the 50% number being in there, so...
I'm very 50%. Cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very cautious to say exact numbers without having Phoebe, our number goddess, sitting next to me saying, yes, that's right. No, you're not quite there. Yes, you know. So, but I can tell you what I've been able to figure out as a non-accounting major at college, you know, that for the most part, in previous years, we've spent less than 50%. The last 2 years have been a little bit outside of that when we're talking about, because the numbers start to get very complicated when you're talking about the amount that you budget versus the amount that you end up as right. The total actual expenditure at the end of the fiscal year. So, you know, it gets kind of complicated in there, but for the most part, and certainly in previous years, we haven't had any problem doing that, and Phoebe in her brilliance has been having us, by the time you get to your actuals at the end of the fiscal year, we're under that 50% anyway, even right. In the last two, you know, close in this year.
Because we're talking about budgeting here, as
yeah.
Versus...
Yeah, we're talking about budget.
Actual,
and again, you know, it says, to the greatest degree practicable. And if it ends up, you know, Mike has been very... It has to be a practical solution or it's not going to work. And so, as Phoebe said that, you know, I totally agree. So,
thank you.
Any other comments?
Go ahead.
So I'm supportive of the concept, and we've gone over different variations. We've never quite got it right, that I feel, including this try, but it's like the closest I think we've been.
And I support the overall, but when we're talking just about this amendment, I'm concerned, similar to what Paul said, that it takes away some of the council's discretion, which is open public process, which takes months. Months of meetings to get there, and I just think if we have a number attached, it takes away that discretion and forces us into a couple options. It forces us into inefficiencies. We can say, so that we're not hiring someone, we contract. Maybe contract costs more. It takes away the discretion of, you know, let's hire someone for this purpose. Or it forces it to get under 50%. Do we raise taxes when it's not necessary? And I guess the rest of the resolution gets to the same points, but it doesn't pin a number on it, which in a way I still like because it's quantifiable, but I don't feel like this is the right formula as it is now.
I don't know what the formula is, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this forward. Yeah, I think, I mean, the whole intent of this resolution, which was originally... the original form of it came from Colleen Stansberry and representing the people who had submitted the petition, and she said that the concern of the petitioners was largely to make sure that our government wasn't growing too fast. Boy, we get that from a lot of angles. We just heard it again tonight, and I think, although some people have been thinking we don't hear that, I think we do hear it. And part of the idea of this was to address, we did a little rewrite of it and then bounced it off of the petitioners and got their approval, at least at the time that we did the rewrite. We didn't put in a formula like that. We wanted to reflect the idea that the council agrees with the petitioners that we need to be very conservative in how we consider new functions that are going to cost more, especially those that would add staff. And So the intent was to reflect that without putting in a specific formula. And the original thing had been based at a percentage of taxes, and I think your suggestion to make it as a percent of the overall budget was an improvement on that, because it considered that we do have a lot of other sources of income and it's all fungible money. And despite the fact that we have been running at less than that 50%, it is possible that we would exceed that in the future. But municipal governments are largely, I mean, we provide the services for labor primarily. Some of it's contracted, as our road function is. If we were to in-house that road function, that would probably blow this formula. But the fact that we're contracted keeps us from blowing that formula. I think that the 50% is probably too low, and rather than set one, I prefer still leave it to the to each council to make that decision on that. They can certainly remember the intent of this. But I would be hesitant to put it in a resolution that appears somehow to limit them to that 50%. They may have good reasons for doing something with staff and running over that 50% rather than contracting it, for example. So I'm pleased that we have the opportunity to discuss it, but at this point I don't see that I would vote yes on it.
Any other remarks, comment from council? Well, I too am going to vote against this amendment.
Now, and the reason why is because we're talking budgets. We're talking about our projected budget for a year that's coming up a year and a half away from now. I mean, 50% of a projection of 50% of a projection, I just don't see how you do that and have it make any sense. Because you can change the projection. So I'm not sure how this helps us. I'm happy to support the resolution as it was first proposed without this amendment, but I can't support this amendment. Any other council comment?
I have to agree that I feel like it's when you're talking about budgets, I mean, that's the whole, and I've talked about this before, it's like that's what the council does, is takes the information at the time for the budget and does just this type of thing. It's like, how much are we going to spend on each thing, with a lot of public comment and a lot of everything. Well, if the public were to come in and say they wanted 60%, then this would limit us. I mean, because there was some special, you know, thing that was needed for services or something. So I wouldn't say us. It will limit the councils in the future to that. But I certainly like the idea of, you know, that of the whole resolution. While I agree it doesn't have a whole lot of teeth because it's not an ordinance, but it is a resolution which reflects the council's thought at the time that letting people know that we do think about it. So.
Okay. Brittany, got anything else or no? Shelley, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe Susan has some more wrap-up comments.
I've made the case to do what people asked us, and the council doesn't want to do it. Then okay.
Take it to the vote.
Yes, vote, please.
Okay, Vice Mayor Warner.
I'm going to vote for yes for the amendment.
Did we get public, or have we had that?
We had that.
Why do I miss the
amendment? We don't take public comment.
Is this, can I ask?
We don't, Madam. We don't usually take public comments on amendments, just on the main motion. But if you can make it quick, go ahead.
Okay, real quick. Are you nixing it right now, or is it still up to discussion by you guys? Us in the audience. I know it says here that August 12th you discuss it, but the people that are here are hearing you discuss it now. Are they going to have time to go home and cogitate on it, and then the next meeting we come back and...
I suppose a council member could vote to postpone it to the next council, I suppose, if... I don't know. This is we're voting on the amendment to add this clause into the resolution.
And then
once we dispense with this, we'll have another main motion on the table, which is to approve or not approve the resolution. That'll be our vote on whether we approve it or not. I mean, like I said, somebody could put a motion to table or something. I don't know. Who knows? go ahead.
Leslie, I think resolutions are a little bit different than ordinances. Ordinance, we introduce at one meeting,
okay. And
we're required to post it for a certain amount of days, but we usually post it for an entire month. And then it has a public hearing and gets voted on. Resolutions usually are introduced and passed in the same meeting and they can amend them or postpone them. In this case, this was postponed with an amendment already,
okay. And
now there's another amendment on it.
So if it gets passed, we could someday do another one to cancel it out. right?
Yeah.
Whatever the correct wording for that is.
No, could we just?
Sure.
And I know how much you love
me. Okay, so I already have a positive vote for Vice Mayor Warner, Councilmember Cook.
What are we talking about?
Okay. This is the amendment shown on the board that would add this little clause in as a new now
thank
therefore.
You.
I'm sorry.
No,
please.
Yeah, I should have done that.
That's okay.
Councilmember Taylor?
No.
Mayor Cassapit?
No.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
And Councilmember Owens?
No.
Okay, motion fails. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2. So now we're back to the main motion as amended.
Okay, we're back to the main motion.
No.
Any further discussion on the main motion?
There we go.
No further comment on the main motion? Okay, let's vote on that.
All right. Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
No.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
And Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 6-1.
Okay. Okay, we're on 10 now. 10A. CY. Oh, I'm sorry, you missed that.
Okay, that's all right. I was late. You go ahead.
10A. CY 1918, a resolution amending the ambulance transportation fees. We'll get that up on the screen here.
Thinking about it. I'll just get. Oh, man. Sorry. You got to wait just another minute. I got to disconnect and connect again.
At least she's able to reconnect.
Should I go ahead and make a motion?
Yeah, go ahead.
While we're waiting, and since I missed the work session, I was wondering if someone could provide a summary of how we got to a restructure.
Okay.
A restructure, a different restructure, yeah.
We're just talking about adding a line on there at street and with no transport. So we ran into an issue when we'll hit four times where we respond to the clinic after hours and we treat a patient and then we hand them off to a higher level of care for the clinic. I can't bill that patient because we can only bill patients that our ambulance bills are moved now. Any other time I don't transfer them to the clinic, they usually go straight to a medevac plan, so then my bills move. We just hit this weird spot where people try to drive to the clinic for help. We treat and do work, we pass them off to somebody else, non-billable patient.
I see.
There was also another little change in there that allows us to bill the actual cost if we send an EMT on a private trip with them.
Okay.
So we can recover those costs if we're sending an EMT with them.
Okay. Thank you.
And, I think part of Travis's earlier explanation, too, was that this is for an after hours for the most part, which creates a problem when the clinic isn't opened and the patient has to wait at the clinic until they arrive.
So we need the other motion on the table now.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we pass resolution CY 19-18 to amend the ambulance transportation fees originally established. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's been moved by Cheryl, seconded by Shelley, to approve resolution CY 19-18. Any public comment on this?
Let me know when you're ready for me to scroll down, people.
Okay, I got a public comment from Thomas.
On the subscriptions under one, a family is defined as an immediate family living in one household for the purpose of a subscription fee. Who am I to judge my fellow man?
people want to live together. That's none of my business. They're in a household. That shouldn't be a family.
Could you scroll down slightly? Because
I was scrolling down in the version again.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know what to tell you. That's just not happening here.
Could you read that one more time for us, Thomas, please?
A family is defined as immediate family living in one household for the purpose of the subscription fee. And people do live together who are not, if you will, married or by blood. And if you're living in the same dwelling, I'd consider that a family.
Forever.
See, that's how all the ambulance or air medevacs ones are worded, or similar to that same way. Anybody in the household, immediate family.
So by striking the words immediate family.
Making it household or something would be the same, would be similar to the wording of the life med and guardian and
as soon as we get it up there, we can make a mess.
Somebody can make
it. Trust me, I'm trying.
Oh, I know. Oh, you're doing great.
I have another question.
Another comment? Okay, go ahead.
I have a question regarding that. All of that long part at the beginning is about the fee, and that's all deferred when you have the subscription, right?
If you have insurance, you bill your insurance first.
Yes.
And then if your insurance refuses to cover any of it, then it's all taken away.
Okay. So, if you have the subscription. So,
right.
Okay. It's only for the visitors or the people who do not.
Okay. What?
Thank
you.
Go down.
Okay.
The last person. The fiscal year one. A family is defined as people living in one house for persons of subscription fee.
Members of the household.
Members. Right, because you need, so.
Just
immediate household.
Would anybody like to look at it in a packet?
Mr. Mayor,
people living in one household.
Well, I would like to perhaps if it said instead of purpose, so moving up to the beginning of the sentence, if any person may subscribe for ambulance services for a fee of $10 per person per fiscal year or $25 per household per fiscal year.
Oh, and then we just strike the last line.
Yeah.
That's a great.
Okay.
That's
I would like to propose an amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'll need a form, won't I?
I'll second that.
yes, I'm filling out the form. Okay. Thank you for pointing that out, Tom. Okay.
We stared at that thing all during that work session, too, and that one got by.
I know. Okay, so, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose an amendment.
Okay.
That the ambulance subscription number one be changed to read, any person may subscribe for ambulance services for a fee of $10 per person per fiscal year or $25 per household, period. The fiscal year will run through whatever it says there, and then delete the last line of number one.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded to make the changes. That be 25 per household, and we would strike the last sentence. Any comment on this? Okay, can we vote on the amendment, please?
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Cassebit?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes. Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 7-0.
Okay, we have a amended main motion on the table. And Cheryl's finishing up that language for you right now. Mm-hmm. Any other public comment on this? Okay, it is now before the council for approval. Is there any further comment by the council? Okay, main motion. Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Cook.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, the next one is another resolution. It's CY19-19, opposing the formation of a borough that changes the Southeast Alaska borough boundaries within the geographic area of Glacier Bay National Park.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt resolution CY19-19. A resolution by the City of Gustavus opposing the formation of a borough that changes Southeast Alaska borough boundaries within the geographic area of Glacier Bay National Park.
Second.
It's been moved by Mike and seconded by Brittany to approve CY19-19. I'm not going to repeat the title again. Any public comment on this one. Yeah. Any public comment on this agenda topic?
Am I correct that this is basically a statement against the borough? As they're proposing, incorporating most of Glacier Bay, this is basically a statement against that.
Well, we don't know what's going to be in their proposed borough boundary because they haven't filed with the LBC yet.
But towards that topic.
It puts us on record as being, yeah. Any other comment, public comment? Okay. Council members.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Sure. Explain.
Sure. Being on the management team of Glacier Bay National Park, I'm also tied to the Department of Interior's ethic rules, which wouldn't allow me to vote on something that has to do with the park boundaries.
Okay, well, you will be recused, I understand. Don't want you to lose your job, especially on your last meeting. Go ahead,
Mr. Mayor, I would like to propose an amendment to delete the last whereas. I feel that any disruption of Gustavus' economy would devastate the quality of life and sustainability of many residents. Disruption could be positive or negative, and I would just like to propose that amendment. So there, I would like to move that we do that.
Okay. It's been moved by Cheryl, seconded by Susan to remove, I don't think we need to write this down, but strike out the last whereas.
I want it though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll put it down.
Just strike out the last. Okay. Any council comment on that? No, go ahead.
I think that's probably not necessary for the intent of the resolution, so I would support
1919
deletion.
Okay. Any other comment? Okay, ready to vote on the amendment to remove the last whereas.
Okay. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Mayor Cassifit?
Yes.
Okay, back to the main motion.
Okay, we got a main motion with that last whereas now removed. Any further public comment?
No.
Oh, go ahead.
Council comment?
Yeah, yeah. Council comment.
Mr. Mayor, I would note that in our town hall on local government, we talk a lot about boroughs and various forms of government. And I was on the panel. My impression was that there was zero support for joining a borough with HUNA and a lot of angst and concern about that. And so I think this reflects the kind of input that we got in that town hall, in those two town halls. I think the community is and always has been quite skeptical of the value to the city of Gustavus and its residents here to being involved in a borough with HUNA, as they seem to be proposing. So for that reason, I think this is a good resolution and I support it.
Any other public comment? Or, sorry, council comment?
I'm soon to be.
Did you want to say something? I'll go ahead and I just wanted to say that I'm going to support this as well. I attended both those borough first class city discussions as well. There's zero support for being in a borough. But I do want to say that I am kind of disappointed that when we first started the discussions recently, it seemed like it was going to be more of a inclusive discussion of maybe having representatives from all the communities getting together and discussing things. It sounded like there was going to be some shared learning and working together to come up with something, and then all of a sudden that just all went away, and it just kind of went, I don't know, underground, or that just really disappointed me, and I wish it wouldn't have been that way. I wish we could have been it seemed like it could have been better if that original model of getting the communities together and talking. Anyway, but yeah, I am going to support this resolution. Anyway, any other comments? Go ahead.
Point of order, please. The other council members haven't spoken. You've already spoken once.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now you go ahead.
I can't see that.
Yeah, I moved ahead like that. I moved like that to look.
You're quite right, too. I'll be sure of that. The other thing, some of this has to do with this wouldn't preclude, it doesn't say that we object to HUNA forming a borough. We just don't want to be included in it. And there also are the issues of the donut hole, and which the Local Boundary Commission discourages. And so the probable answer to that is, I mean, it appeared from the information we got from the Local Boundary Commission that that to preclude a donut hole around Gustavus, they would really have to eliminate a lot of other area around us that could essentially be in a Gustavus borough, or if we joined Haines or something, it could be part of a different borough. So this would suggest that the boundary does not include much of the land of the park that's around us.
Okay. Any other council comment? Okay, I think we're ready for a vote.
On the main motion.
On the main motion. We already had public comment on the
Councilmember Cook?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
And Mayor Cassavet?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 6-0.
Okay. 10C, a motion to write off ambulance transport fee for out-of-state medic for an out-of-state Medicaid enrollee.
I don't have anything to project.
You don't have anything for that? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I move to write off ambulance transport fee for out-of-state Medicaid enrollee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to write off ambulance transfer fee for an out-of-state Medicaid enrollee. Is there any public comment?
Maybe Travis has, or Tom, do you have the amount?
Not that you guys have questions for me.
I'm just wondering, just for the public's knowledge, that there's just somebody that, we haven't been able to track down.
So we have somebody from Louisiana that's on Medicaid. And for us, it's like a $500 bill. We bill them $500. We'll collect about $250, $300 or something like that off of that. For us to do it, BBA's got an amount of paperwork to add to her list of tasks to do to collect this one patient. And our billing company suggests that we just write this off also. So.
Thank you.
We don't get very many from Louisiana.
Thank you.
Okay, any public comment? Public comment on this agenda topic? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, council comment.
Well, I have a question, and if I could direct it to Travis.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding was that this was sort of Louisiana specific. There might be other out-of-state Medicaid patients.
Most of the crucial patients that we actually get on Medicare.
On Medicare. So Medicaid is. Would you have an idea of how many Medicaid patients
that we collect that I have out there?
Mm-hmm.
This is my
question. Okay. Thank you.
Everybody. Most of the crucial patients are Medicare. So
okay.
Those ones are just one. We already filled out an analysis.
Thank you.
Miller?
One more question for Travis. So, do we write off in-state Medicaid?
No, because we filled out that paperwork.
Okay, so you have a better chance
because we
of
get
recovery.
More, we recover those because we have gone through that paperwork.
Thank you.
This doesn't make sense for us. Every year we have to redo that paperwork. It's not a one-time thing. Otherwise, we get all 50 states, 49 states.
Okay.
Just
okay, thank you.
We're on council comment.
Yeah. Are we done council comment?
Mm-hmm.
Call for the question, please.
Okay. Councilmember Cannamore.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Councilmember Cook.
Yes.
Mayor Cassavet.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay.
And now we're
And my mayor's report, I'm sorry, my mayor's report didn't make it into the general meeting packet, but I hope it got distributed, correct?
No. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I didn't send it out. Sorry. I sent it to Karen, and I didn't even print off a copy.
Yeah.
But, the one notable thing I did want to mention on there is that Tom and I had a meeting with Captain John Falvey with AMHS on the winter schedule, which was not very good, and we made it a tiny little bit better, maybe. We got one sailing in March and two sailings in April to try to help out. I kind of feel fortunate we got that because the way he was talking, it was like, you know, no chance in heck. But they made it happen. We got that little bit of improvement. And I think that's the only thing in my report that was mentionable. It was just stuff. But that was a major thing that I thought was a major accomplishment for us. Anyway, I'm sorry I didn't even print out my report. Oh, here you go. Thank you. So, let's see, I don't need to talk about this. Well, I did want to mention the Guardian Flight community picnic that they had here last month. I attended that. That was kind of cool for folks to. They brought their new Lear 45 in and had tours and stuff. So.
Right up here to the park.
No. It was got. And it was kind of cool because I got to see the kind of jet I could have flown in if I. But yeah, if I would have. If it hadn't happened in January, but yeah, I got a flight in their King Air instead. But anyway, that's all I had. There we go. Oh, that was. I'm sorry. That was. I think it was the last meeting in August. We had a non-agenda item comment about sea lion. Feeding off the dock, and Tom and I worked on some letters and got a letter out to every charter operator reminding them that they're not supposed to do that, and put a little note there, you know. But anyway, so we tried, you know, to be responsive, and we sent letters to them all. I don't know if the behavior changed. I heard. Some said it did, and some said it didn't. I don't know, but an effort was made, and kind of looking towards the future, we are, and this will be before the next council, I'm sure, talking about putting those types of uses under a facility use agreement, so that there's a bit more teeth that we have about enforcing things like, you know, good behavior and respecting the sea lions and that kind of stuff. So, anyway. So I'll be looking forward to that over the next few months as well. So, I think that's it. Did I miss anything? Sometimes I forget everything that's going on, or I forget to mention it. Anyway, City Council questions and comments. This is time for City Council for comments. City Council questions and comments. I just wanted, before we go, I just wanted to thank Jake and Cheryl and for their service, and I know you're not coming back, but you'll be missed. I hope you guys are out there in the audiences and helping us keep us straight. And it's been real fun to work with you guys. It's been a lot of fun. And thank you, Shelley, as well, for filling in for the past few months. And looking forward to seeing you back here as well. So if you win in action. Anyway.
I have one thing actually.
Oh, go ahead.
Even though I'm not a council member.
Go ahead.
Election day is on October 1st. We're doing absentee in person here in the office until the 30th. So if you aren't going to be here on October 1st, come in 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday, and cast your absentee ballot. It's too late to apply for absentee by mail. That deadline's already passed. So if you aren't going to be here, you have to come in person and do it.
You couldn't write in Brittany and Jake.
You need to write in on October 1st.
Cheryl.
You
can't rewrite me in on October 1st. Write Brittany again.
Be good. Announcement about the thing at the library?
That's
I know, but can we still make an announcement?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a public forum with the candidates on the 26th mm-hmm. at the library. 7 p.m. Yes, please all go and ask questions. Get informed.
Now we're on public comment.
Now,
go ahead. I guess my last chance for a council comment. I don't have anything prepared or anything, of course, but I just wanted to thank everybody on the council for all the, you know, time you put in to listen in any way possible to different people, different groups, whether it comes by mail or email or petition or public comment or out there. I just appreciate the time people put in.
and above all, and I would say especially Susan, I mean, she really finds, you know, she really works on other sides too, and I think that's really important. Whatever the makeup of the next council is, that we respect that there's people we're going to disagree with and try to, you know, try to find what those disagreements are, so we can have a real conversation. Sometimes it's pretty easy to say, here's the one side, and everyone generally agrees, everyone votes yes, but even if that's the way we go, I think it's so important to have, you know, someone like Susan that can bring those other sides too. So, thanks.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other council comment before I take public comment?
Well, throw in one thing about the endowment fund grant that's coming up. So if you're on that, the working group that deals with the endowment funds. Remember, it's a new system this year. Feel free if you need to call me to clarify anything that might not be clear of what was thought at the time. Feel free to do that. But that's just, hopefully it's all clear and everything.
Thank you for working on that.
Thank you.
Hopefully it will be there.
Okay, now public comment on non-agenda items. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'd like to say that there are a large number of people in this town who appreciate and respect the council, and we'd like to thank all of you, and each and every one of you, for your hard work. And you know it is appreciated, and I do know that by and large the council listens to the input. I attended, I think most of them, missed one of the town hall meetings, and input was definitely solicited. They were well attended, and a lot of input was given. Thomas said he's going to summarize all that. I don't know.
We got a draft today.
But I'd also like to say to the mayor that I want to compliment you on your Alaskan beer T-shirt.
Well, I've picked for 2 years.
I just, before everybody disappears, I'd like to encourage him to come back and attend the two meetings a month than any of your extra meetings. And to your comment, ma'am, I appreciate, even though we maybe jumped the gun as a group, but your memo that you as the council put out trying to encourage us. And about that time, we all exploded on you. So I appreciate you were thinking ahead, and that was good. And like John said, I'm glad you're up there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I think that's adjournment, right?
Yay.
Wow. Good. Just an hour and a half. It's a record.
That is a record.
Oh, we need to sign initial the whatever.
Oh, my God. You guys cannot leave.
No, we got it. Yeah.
I got all excited. I was like, don't leave. Don't hit that far.
And we need the special pin. We need the special pin, too.
I got it.
Okay.
Are you okay, Shelly?
Ethan, Shelly, do you need...
Yes.
Travis just left. I can help.
Okay, here's the mic still here.
Special pin. Don't forget to sign. Initial
the page. Council members, I'm not leaving until I get their initials.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Let me in.
I know. These gems want my awful pen.
You got it.
We have so many amendments. I can't.
So all the moose hunters are out. You can just throw that injector out there.
You were correct. We're going to do everything.
And saw the reference to Adelaide, okay, right?
Okay, I guess this is the only one that you can actually sign because I have to do amendments and all the others.
Okay.
Go in this one by minute. Yeah.
Do you have to sign with that pen?
I got to sign with this. Yeah. Sorry. I'll pass it on to you.
All
right. There we go.
Did you see?
more than three.
I've always got them in my truck.
Thank you.